Good evening, everybody. This is Rochelle Sparrow, and I welcome you to my show, The Rochelle Sparrow Psychic Connection. I appreciate you all out there. You are so wonderful and so unique and so much of value. So I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and I want to tell you a little bit about myself. What I am is a trained therapist, and I'm also a psychic trance channel. And what that means is that I explain it to people like this. I go into a conscious trance, and I have balls of light that enter my mind. And in these balls of light, they stretch out like unzipping a zip file in my mind, and out comes word from my guides. And my guides also send me energy, not only to heal you, but also for me to interpret. I provide individual phone sessions all over the world at a very reasonable rate. I can be reached at www.rochellesparrow.com. And today we have a wonderful guest with us, Jesse Soto. And before we introduce him and what he's all about, I'm going to read Roger's question that he sent in for today. And Roger states, what kind of karmic lessons does one have in involving ETs in this lifetime? I'm told I'm not from here, even though I was incarnated as a man in this lifetime. I made a soul contract with the Greys while still in spirit, which altered my chart and is binding until my death on this world. Can you tell me their agenda for being here? Are they acting for our benefit and for a higher purpose? I hope I'm involved in something beneficial for a man's evolution. Thank you. In my guide state to Roger. Roger is incorrect in doubt of any kind. His ability is writing, and to write directly, it feels like channeling in mathematical information that is directly related to ascension in this lifetime. So it is correct that he gets information, and it feels like mathematical in terms of light, that he is to transpose into information to accelerate the human race, to help them feel connected to all the universal energies which are present. His decision, it feels like, I want to say, Roger, to withhold or to block his own communication with other forces of energy, which he is calling the Greys, is incorrect at this time. We suggest that he continue to open to communication with all the energetic beings. And what they say is that you perceive them. You have sensory perception of their being around you. And to continue this communication with them is essential for your own betterment as well as the betterment of mankind. So understand yourself as, of course, beneficial to yourself as well as all those around you, including the individuals you call Greys, because they are correct in being translated here to this particular dimension. And that's what they have to say this evening. And thank you so much, Roger, for your question. I really appreciate your courage and sending that along. And of course, we are all connected with all energies that are universal in nature. And speaking of energy, I would like to send out the energy of love and gratitude to Don, who hosts this program. Thank you so much, Don, for all you do for us. I really appreciate you in making this ascension possible. And I'd also like to thank Jesse Soto for being on our show this evening. Jesse.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing really good. So Jesse is a rainbow healer, and do you want to talk about what that is?
Yes, I can briefly go into that. Rainbow healing, to me, and my understanding of it, is using the light chakra colors to heal with in the different facets. And usually spirit guides me in the direction I need to go when I'm laying hands on people. I'm a hands-on healer. And once I get in the mode of what I have to do, let spirit come in and guide me as to what is the energy that the person needs. And, you know, it's taken care of. It's like a switch that goes on, and the colors that I see are the rainbow colors as they come in from the universe and start doing their work on the individual people that I'm working on. I have the experience of doing this for quite a while, and it's always been the same. That, you know, universe provides the guidance for the different colors to be used on the different types of healing that the individuals need, or the needs that that individual needs.
Okay. I'm having just a little bit of a hard time hearing you, so if you could speak up, I think the audience can hear you better as well. So can you give us some examples of your work? I know that you've had some incredible experiences.
Yes, I've had experiences with quite a few people, but the ones that come into mind are the most recent ones here. And I've had a lady with throat cancer, and she had a big cyst on her thyroid, and after two sessions of it, it was completely gone. I mean, she went through the medical doctors, and they did the test, and they did a biopsy and found that it was cancerous at first, and then she went again to have it removed, and it was already gone. So can you
explain to us precisely, point by point, what occurred in your sessions?
Okay. I laid hands on her, and as I put my hands over the area, she started experiencing tremendous heat. And the tumor that she had started reducing. And after the session was over, it was partly gone, and then the second session it was gone completely. But she actually was telling me the heat that she was feeling that was coming out of the hands, and it was my connection to the Heavenly Father that was. I asked the person to ask their Creator to bring the energy down, and I act as a conduit.
Okay. And now, do you see colors while this is occurring?
Yes, I see the colors. I see the rainbow colors.
All of the colors?
Yes.
Okay.
In that particular instance, I was seeing the white light coming in, the pure light.
Okay, so as you channel in this particular healing energy, it manifests as white light, but it's, of course, white light contains all the colors.
Yes.
So what you're saying is that the white light is the energy that the Divine Father. Now, is it both a Divine Father and a Divine Mother that you?
Yes. I acknowledge both of them at the same time. And you know, one's the female energy and one's the male energy. And God is, you know, He's both at the same time. So the definition of female and male, I don't think. My interpretation is that God is both, you know. It's all in the way we see it, but it's the interpretation of the both energies.
So these energies come through you with your intention.
Yes, I have, you know, I'm just the vessel for this energy to come through. I'm just like, I would be called a servant. I prefer to be called a servant than a healer. That's my way of seeing things, because, you know, compared to God and myself, I'm just a grain of sand in the immensity of this vast ocean of energy, you know.
And I think that is just a wonderful viewpoint, because it's not that the grain of sand is any less important. It's just that the grain of sand is the grain of sand compared to this awesome energy that can move through us.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that energy is so completely awesome and so much bigger than us, that if we view ourselves as important, but yet not have the ability to contain this energy, it means that we don't have to defend against it in a lot of ways that people can defend against this energy, such as being arrogant or wishy-washy or pretending the energy doesn't exist or all of the above or any of the above. So I think that is just a fabulous way of viewing how to work with this particular energy. And the other thing about this is that this energy is specific to Hawaii. Not that it's specific to Hawaii, but the method is specific to Kahuna?
Yes, it's the Kahuna method, with the knowledge of the ancestors.
So how did it develop historically throughout the ages?
Well, it has been passed down, and it has been passed down from family members that have had the mana,
mm-hmm.
or the knowledge, and spirit for those that have been in the quest for knowledge. It has been passed down that way.
So it's not specific. What you're saying is not specific to people who are Hawaiian any longer? In other words,
the knowledge is coming through, but some of the things are so sacred that they cannot be talked about yet, you know, because not all knowledge is meant for everyone to be had yet at this time. Until, you know, it's like that old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will come.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me to be saying, you know, hey, this is, you know, some things are meant to be sacred, and I want to keep them sacred.
Mm-hmm.
So the knowledge is not dispensed to everyone. It's not that it's the sacredness of it. And that, because of that, you know, you hold value to those things. And some things are meant to be talked about and some things aren't. And I honor that.
And do you see that this knowledge is going to be opened to masses at some point?
Well, I think my opinion of it is that it's going to be open to those that are ready for it.
And what makes people ready for it?
Their spiritual quest, their walk of life, their desire, their intent, their willingness to love, because it's all about loving and having the aloha in and being a willing participant of it. And it's a way of life. I mean, some of us have to come several times to learn this lesson, you know. So it's several, to my interpretation is that we spend several lifetimes learning it before we can acquire it.
So this means having to be open in it and having your intent in love regardless.
Regardless.
So the interaction with so-called, for lack of a better term, dark or shadow energies that cause illness is always one of love?
Well, I think it's misunderstood is what causes, you know, illnesses. And...
Okay, can you explain that? So some energy is misunderstood and that's what causes illnesses?
Yes, it's the vibration that we set. You know, we've got to remember that we're the sons and daughters of God. And we have in embryo all these powerful thoughts, you know, the word, the power of the word, the thought. Sometimes we believe these things to be true. And it goes against the foundation of how we believe.
What type of things to be true?
Okay, for instance, our belief system starts off with our father and mother.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know that whatever information they had and passed on to us as we were children, we valued that as concrete evidence, you know, a foundation that we build our life upon. And sometimes, you know, our parents didn't have all the information that was so.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we're adults, we're gaining all this information, right? And then, hey, mom and dad, they weren't quite right on what they were saying. So our belief system changes because then we're adults and we're reasoning for our own and coming to this greater understanding. So we've realized that what our parents had said in the past isn't so. So now we're in a quandary because we're switching off from what they said to what we know, and that kind of puts a crack in the foundation. And then our belief system is changing, and we're not believing. See, it goes back to the word doubt. And we start doubting things.
Mm-hmm.
And when this doubt sits in our mind, it's like a switch that says, hey, those things that I have given unto you, they're not of value anymore. So we rock back and forth until we fall, where the fall is the illness, because our foundation has been rocked. But we got to understand that our belief system is changing because of the gaining of knowledge that we have as we go through life.
Okay, so what you're saying is not integrated with a sense of trust and knowing in yourself.
And that's the God within you, you know.
And that connection is what keeps us in balance and keeps us healthy.
Yes, the connection with God and the believing in you, believing that what God has given you is so, you know. It's like you talk about the Bible where it talks about those still small voice in your heart that lets you know of things that are happening, but yet we do not trust that. We know we heard we had the feeling, but we didn't trust it. And some of us do that. And that's doubting, because if we didn't doubt, we would have had it right at the beginning, you know. Because Spirit was telling us so. And Spirit, what is Spirit? You know, we identify it as the Holy Ghost, you know. The warm feeling in our hearts, you know. Saying to us, hey, feel that feeling and trust it. Well, what I'm saying is that, you know, doubt, when you have doubt, you don't trust that feeling. And therefore, you take yourself from the presence of Spirit, which is God, because you're doubting your ability.
Okay. So back to the woman who cleared the thyroid cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So when you feel this energy moving through you to clear cancer,
mm-hmm.
do you also feel, and I'm just kind of feeling this energy as I'm talking about it, do you also feel the energy that's present within her that causes?
Yes, I do. The fear or sometimes I'm led to see what caused it.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen on all people, you know. It happens on... It's different for each of one that I work on. It's not all the same. You know, it's not like set in concrete.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to feel this. I'm going to, you know, do this. No. Every time it's a different situation for each one. So we're all individuals.
With this particular woman, did you see the origin Of what caused your cancer?
No, I didn't. It just happened.
And the second question I have for you, as you're working to clear this energy, how does it clear for her in terms of her own doubt? In other words, is that still there for her, whatever the origin was?
Yes, because, you know, it's like, you know, the thing forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you've forgiven, you got to forget it. That it's, you know, when you say forgiveness, it's, we always have free agency. The person that you work on has free agency. You know, after you lay hands on them, and they can go back with a thought and recreate everything again that happened, even though you healed them that very instant.
Mm-hmm.
And, but their belief system is not, you don't have the faith. And if that person walks without the faith, even if you heal them that very hour, that very day, and they're sitting over there in quandary about, did it take place? Is it happen? Then they question themselves, they go back to the doubt, and guess what? It magically appears back again.
Regardless of what the doctor says.
Yes.
Even if they're stating to them that it's been cleared, if that doubt is still there. So do you work with people energetically to help them recognize?
Yes.
Okay. And how, tell us about that work.
Okay. When I lay hands on them and they're feeling the energy, I impress upon them the importance of believing in themselves and believing that this is taking place. Because it has to do with, first, the desire. If the person comes to you with a desire to heal, and that's what they really want, it's what is going to happen. So the whole key to the healing of taking place is the conviction between them and God, and the desire to want to be healed. If they really want it to happen, or they go teeter-tottering back into a negative situation, and the negativeness around them, you create that. Because the belief is, what you believe in, that's what you're going to create. So if you're in a negative mode, you're going to create that negativity around you, and you're going to create that problem again, even though it was already let go of.
Now, let me ask you this. I want to switch over to somebody else that you've had a healing with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm wondering is that it sounds like spirit at times gives you the origin, and then sometimes spirit doesn't.
Yes.
And I'm wondering about that. I'm wondering, does spirit intend for you to tell the individual about the origin? When you receive that knowledge?
When I receive it, I think it's intended for the person to hear about it.
Okay.
But when it's not given, it's not meant to be given.
It's not meant to be given. Okay, can you share an example of when you've received that information about the origin?
I have another situation where this person walked in with a walker.
Mm-hmm.
And the person was perfectly healthy until she got some news, and that put the person in that situation.
And can you share what the news was in very general terms?
Well, it was dramatic to her.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused so much that it caused pain, to experience pain on the lower back, and could not walk.
Okay.
It was that shocking to her.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the shock and the way she viewed things. And once you clear that, you know, the person was back walking normal, you know. without the stroller, but it's sometimes it goes back to the belief in how bad things are, you know, when they're really not. And you, I mean, we are so powerful that we can create these things. And this thing could be a disease. This could be, you know, an obstacle. Goes into the, because our mind, in the pole, in the darkness, we create it, and it's there, and then we bring it into this dimension. And when we bring it into this dimension, it's the creation of our thought that brings it in. Our thoughts are like a magnet.
Mm-hmm.
Once we set the thought in motion and we linger on with a thought, we create it in creation, and then from creation we bring it into us. It's like watching a storm, you know, on the Weather Channel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They show us a picture of the area where the hurricane is starting to develop, and the waters are being heated up, and the churning of the air starts making that hurricane happening, you know. And then it tracks it. And, well, the same thing as thought is like that. We churn it over here in the waters of creation, and then pretty soon it's taken off and it's gathering speed, and pretty soon it hits landmass, and it hits the areas where people are living in, and it creates all this disaster. Well, thoughts are that way, in my opinion. We send them out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they start generating this, whatever positive or negative situation it is, and then pretty soon it develops. We make that creation, and it hits us.
So this is interesting. First off, we got to keep our thoughts sunny, which is a good thing. but the other interesting thing is I like the way that you're describing this, which is really very fascinating to me. So what you're saying is that our thoughts are interdimensional travelers, which I never heard it explained like that before, which I think is very cool. So every time we have a thought, it literally leaps a dimension. So it's quantum leap into some other type of dimension, which you're saying is the realm of the creator.
Mm-hmm.
And it could go into different spaces in the dimensional realm of creator. It could go, unfortunately, into dark and cloudy weather,
mm-hmm.
or it can move into sunshine, or it can move into everything in between.
Right.
And it literally brings back from the way that you're describing it, it acts as a magnet. The thought acts as a magnet, and it brings back the energy to create through the dimensions to manifest in this particular dimension.
Yeah, exactly.
So let me ask you this. It's not only the thought then, but it's got to be the true emotions along with the thought.
Well, it's everything, because you're, you know, we're in the moment right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the vehicle that has the ability to create, okay? And as the mind sets forth in motion, that is what we're going to come back with. And
we're like little vortexes.
Yes, exactly. Of energy, of thought. And the greatest thing that we have is thought. So everything is based on a thought. I mean, what has been on this world that hasn't been thought of by someone else? Or yourself, you know. Every thought that is sent out. So as a group evolves, you know, and here we are in a evolving, and everybody keeps talking about the new energy that's coming in. It's that all of us are thinking of the new energy, and we're creating that. We're creating this situation.
So we are, of course, creating our own new energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. And as we continue to evolve in creating this new energy, are we going to become more available to the sacred knowledge that's in all indigenous cultures?
Yes, exactly. because as we become more clear in our spiritual realm, we're given more. It's like the old saying, I mean, where much is given, much is expected. And now the conscience of the people is rising so that we can get more and be more closer to the Creator, is because we are the sons and daughters of the Creator. And therefore, as we come closer and to understand the higher laws, we become like the Creator, and we are like the Creator in every instance that we think, that we send those thoughts out. So, you know, if we're still thinking, you know, the lower self, animalistic, you know, survival, and I'll conk you over the head and that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
we're still there. You know, we're elevating, some of us are elevating higher and bringing others to those higher elevations or frequencies. And that's what, to me, is what life's about. You know, there's a word in Hawaiian called pono,
mm-hmm.
which means, you know, for the greatest good. And I think if we, all of us, use that philosophy, how much better this world would be. Because
mm-hmm.
if we did everything from our hearts for the greatest good, then the universe in turn gives us back the greatest good. So it's like a force field that goes over you. And it would be advantageous for all of us to think that way. That if we, from our heart, gave the greatest good, then the universe would give us the greatest good back. And that, to me, starts the road back to the presence of God.
You know, as I'm listening to you, I am just wondering, because of course we all come from indigenous tribes, all of us.
Yes.
No matter who
we
are.
The same root.
We have a root in our ancestors. And the Western culture seems to have this idea that somehow we don't have that root, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, that we have been separated by various constructs, one of them being religious, the other political, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to dismantle those roots. And I'm wondering, how come? Like, for example, this is what I'm wondering. Here we are, we're all rooted. We all have our roots that connect us to our internal. And then we have all of these various external constructs that take us away from our divine internal. And here we are, yet again, being brought back to our connections to the internal.
Yeah.
Why was that necessary?
Because we have to go complete circle, you know.
Why? Like, why couldn't we just stay there to begin with?
you know, that's part of evolution, you know. We're evolving, and we've gone completely full circle. And now is the time that we go back to the divine, the presence within us.
So something about that process had to make us fuller,
mm-hmm.
had to expand us yet again, so that we reconnect with what is fruitful from our roots, and yet we're connecting with something else that expands us.
You know, all the indigenous people of the world have that philosophy that we're all come from the same root.
And maybe that's the whole point. Because maybe, I'm just kind of talking energetically as you're talking, is that maybe that is the whole point, is to get back to that particular root. In other words, we're all from the same tribe.
Mm-hmm.
We all have to unify. And we all have certain elements in this particular modern society that both unify us such as the internet, as well as can completely destroy us in a flash, like nuclear weapons,
mm-hmm.
that both prompt us to recognize that unification is real necessary.
Oh, you know, that is, I guess that's going back to the presence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That is the whole thing, because then we see how, we know that we're all the same. But what makes us greater is when we recognize that in every one of us, the God within ourselves.
So that again brings us back to the equanimity and the value that we all have to place about who we are inside.
Mm-hmm.
We're just, because you know what? If we truly respected ourselves, we wouldn't have war.
Exactly.
Because war is completely disrespectful.
Yes, you know, taking away life. There's no value in that.
No. And we wouldn't have starving people, and we wouldn't have people that are suffering in other countries if we truly respected ourselves.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't be happening.
You know, it's the concept of love, you know. That simple word love, you know, which encompasses compassion. You know, we have, that's one of the lessons, I guess, this time around, is compassion.
Is learning compassion and love.
Yes.
For who we are.
Yes, you know, when we look toward God and we're asking, you know, for his guidance, you know, all our ancestors are before us. We're the last ones behind, because we're behind all our ancestors looking at God, because they reach all the way back to the presence of God. But when we're in this world looking at the world, guess who stands behind us? All our ancestors, all the way to the presence of God.
So they are asking, what you're saying is that they are asking for recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And not only recognition that they're connected to the source and the divine, but also recognition that whatever they bring forward in ourselves, they want it to be healed
mm-hmm.
through love.
Yes.
Through love and acceptance of who they are and their connection of the divine. And that brings us back to your healing practices. Because your healing works because of that energy force of love.
Yes.
As well as the connection, it sounds like, to the chakra energies. And also through your own ancestors and recognition of them.
Yes, recognition.
And the roots that you have for yourself in love.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about your recent work in Hawaii, based upon who you are and what you do. You make a lot of pilgrimages to Hawaii to open up particular energies. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, I can, a little bit. You know, it's, my visits there have opened my eyes to what is going on with our native people there.
Mm-hmm.
And the injustices that are there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not right that their land has been taken away.
No, it's not.
It's not, you know.
So how, in terms of thought, because it isn't right, but also in terms of, like, looking at themselves, not in terms of victims, but in terms of some other type of energy, what would be the most healing way to view, and in terms of empowerment, the situation that is now occurring?
Their aloha spirit.
Which means what?
Is their love that they have.
Okay. So their love for themselves, and how does that manifest? fast in terms of land being taken away?
Well,
does that mean they keep their land or fight for their land or assert themselves?
I think part of it is a little bit of a search. You got to be more assertive in what's theirs. Right now, things are stacked. And there's, you know, justice is measured at how many dollars you put on it. It's not about righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could go on and really say it like it is, or we can sugarcoat it.
Okay, so say it like it is.
Okay, the injustices that are there are not right. How do we make them right?
Right.
That's the question. You know, people that are in power tend to run over people and just wipe out the culture because of their greed. And that doesn't make it right, because these people are loving.
Mm-hmm.
We run them over. No, there's no way that you're going to do that.
Okay, so how to think of this situation? How to send out those thought forms is my question to you.
Okay.
Not to deny the existence of what you're saying, but to empower people.
To the empowerment?
Mm-hmm.
To know who they are? First, you know, to me, is knowing who they are and going back to their traditions, back to Huna.
Okay.
Because in their sacred teachings, it teaches them how to become one with God. And it's about becoming one with God before we get our lands back.
Okay. Now, it's my understanding that's precisely what you do in Hawaii. That's the kind of work that you're doing.
Yes.
Is to bring people back to what they know.
Yes.
Okay, so can you, I don't know how much you can share, but can you share what you feel comfortable about what you're doing?
Yeah, you know, the whole thing is that what I know and what I've been led there by Spirit, by God, is very simple, you know. It talks about coming in to your higher self. And coming into your higher self, you know, you're letting God. It's like this, you know, your lower self is the body, your middle self is the mind, and your higher self is God, the presence of God. And when we bring all those three together and we ask our higher self to come into our conscious self, we have order. And that's all I'm asking, is to have that order back. Because with that order, then we have everything. We have the presence of God within us, and all things will be shown to us how to do.
Okay. So that internal order and that internal structure is going to create the external order and the external structure.
Yes.
And that's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, with your energy. And that's also the healing work that you bring to people.
Yes, that's the same thing. It's the universal love. And it's so simple that it's right there. I mean, it's all about that love within your heart that can change. If it changes the structure of water, what can it do to our lives?
You know? Mm-hmm. Right. Which also brings me back to some, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the other energies that are so present, like fire energy. in Hawaii.
Well, you talk about creation.
Yeah.
You know, you look at all the gods that the Hawaiians had.
Mm-hmm.
Look at them. They're all aspects of God. Each one of them represents God.
Hmm. I'm going to ask some questions, and please forgive mm-hmm. me or let me know that you don't want to answer them. But mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, like, for example, is there an aspect of the Hawaiian gods or goddesses that represent fear and doubt? And are there other aspects that help balance that particular aspect? In other words, are there negative, positive energies that counter one another for in terms of harmonization, not for conflict? But I'm just wondering about that. Can you share about
that?
Well,
you know, the balance. Mm-hmm. What is the balance? You know, you have a positive situation and a negative situation. And both of them is a balance. I mean, you have so much of this and so much of that. It's got to be a balance. It's like the scale. You know, when you hold a scale, and if you put 1 pound on one side of the scale, then it's off balance. But if you hold the scale up and you put 1 pound on each side, then it's balanced. And that's life, you know. Life has to be balanced. You're going to have opposition. You're going to have a negative and a positive situation. But, you know, it's the concept of our experience that makes that a positive or a negative situation, because energy is energy. It doesn't have, to me, in my understanding, a positive or a negative connotation.
Yeah, it doesn't have a value, Judge.
It doesn't have a value. The value is the human condition
mm-hmm.
that puts a value on that energy. So it's the experience that we live that identifies a positive or a negative here on this moment and in this time.
So are there different energies that you can use, like fire or water energy, or is that something that you do, or is it just primarily one and the same in terms of colors to harmonize energy?
I use colors, and I don't use the elements.
Okay.
So I couldn't talk to you about that because I use the colors.
And that's specific to the kahuna tradition?
Yes.
To use colors?
Yes, and healing, yes.
Okay, so is this connected to the astral dimension?
Yes, very much so.
Okay, so if you're, like for me, example, like when I tune into the astral world that's, I would say, parallel to this dimension, I can see things, and I can see things like astral colors, I could see shapes, I could see round shapes, I could see arrows, I could see all sorts of different things when I tune into it. I could see people's auras, of course, but actually we're very much surrounded by the astral world. It's one and the same. Is that your experience as well?
Yes, very, very much so.
Okay. So educate me, because I'm trying to figure this out. So if you're using the elements and what you see in terms of a client that comes into you, and you tune into those astral qualities or manifestation that's around a patient, do you automatically see what's going on?
I feel it. I don't see it. I feel it.
Okay. So if somebody comes into you, is it this, well, I know that it's different types. Of course, everybody's unique. But if somebody has cancer, for example, can you feel that?
You know, I have to be very sensitive in mm-hmm. saying that I can.
Yes.
On some others, like, not all the time. It doesn't happen, you know, it's not like a given that for so much of this, so much of that. No, it's all, if it's meant for me to see, I will see it.
Okay.
It's not like a, how would I say that? Set in concrete that I'm going to see this every time that this energy comes around.
Do you think that has something to do with their intent? Like, for example, if somebody is intentionally their higher self or intentionally feeling like it's their time to leave, that somehow that information won't be disclosed to you?
Yeah, if there's, exactly. Because, you know, when our job is done, it's done, you know. And if we go with whatever disease or drowning to an accident to, however it happens, we don't know. It just, I mean, the time comes.
Okay. Can you do long distance healing?
Yes.
Okay. Because we're about ready to close, and I just want to give people your email address or a phone number that they can reach you.
Mm-hmm. Give them my email address.
Go ahead, Jesse. You can do that.
My email address is jessesoto@cox.net.
And that's J-E-S-S-E.
S-O-T-O, all in small letters.
S-O-T-O, all in small letters,
mm-hmm.
at cox.net.
Yes.
And is there a phone number?
I'll just keep it with the internet.
Okay. All right. And you can do long-distance healing. And thank you so much for being on our show. It's just been a fascinating experience. I really appreciate you and the work that you're doing.
I thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone. And thank you for listening in. I appreciate your value, and I respect you all. And thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll see you again next week. Have a great week. Bye-bye now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and wish you much peace and joy on your journey.